You have been watching South Africa over the last week. You'll no doubt be worried about certain things. And if you're of a, let's say, certain age, you might be wondering, what about retirement? And what am I going to do as I get older? And there's lots and lots of things to think about when it comes to this particular issue, and not just retirement, really living out your older years. So we have someone who knows something about this, not because he is retired just yet, but because he figures this out as he goes along for a living. His name is Barry Kagenson. He's the CEO of Aurea Senior Living, and he's going to be talking to us today about the issue of senior living. Barry, welcome to the show. Thanks for, very much for being with us.
Thanks, Benji. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, just as a sort of intro to this discussion, you don't like to use the word retirement, do you?
No, that's quite right, Benji. So we at Aurea Senior Living, we refer to senior living. We don't just refer to retirement for a couple of reasons. Firstly, we believe that the stage of your life isn't necessarily about retiring. It's about a different set of needs and lifestyle choices, which are defined by happiness, security, peace of mind, and health. And these are really specific to an age in one's life or stage in one's life, rather than the fact that one may or may not be retired. Retirement is really a financial thing. So at the end of the day, we talk about senior living because it refers to a certain age of one's life, and that age globally is about 78. When I say that age, what I mean by that is the age of people moving into continuing care retirement communities, and I can speak a little bit about what that is later. But people moving into continuing care retirement communities globally, the average age is about 78, and the average age of people living there is about 82. Now that talks to a certain demographic of people who have certain needs and concerns that are being addressed in these communities, and those are very different to someone, for example, who's say 55 years old. Now you'd know that one can easily, well, people certainly retire in their 50s, but that's really a financial issue. Does that mean that if you're in your 50s and retired, you should be living in one of our senior living communities? We would say no. But if you're 85 years old, for example, and you're still working, should you be living in one of our communities? Absolutely yes, because it's about your needs and desires at a certain stage of your life. So that's why we don't really refer to retirement. We think in this instance it's a bit of a misnomer, and we talk about senior living.
So we're really talking here about decoupling the notion of retirement, which may happen at 65 or may not, and if you have enough money or you don't. All of these are different questions, as opposed to the question of particularly where am I going to stay and how am I going to live? Because once you, as you say, get to a certain age, the where you live actually becomes really important from a safety perspective, from a quality of life perspective. So maybe talk to us about that element of the physical surroundings that are so important when you're looking at the senior living phase, as you put it.
Yeah, so Benji, that's a good question, and I think the important thing to talk about here is really what we mean when we say a continuing care retirement community or continuing care senior living community, because that's really what we do. And what that is a single community that offers fully independent living, as well as various types of assisted living, all in one place. And this assisted living could range from home-based care to supportive care, or what's traditionally called frail care in South Africa, as well as dedicated dementia care. So the bottom line is, if and when your needs change, all the assistance and care that you could possibly need, adapted to your unique requirements, is available to you on site. Now, if we can start off with independent living, because that is really what most people are after going into these communities. Independent living is for people who want to be completely self-sufficient, but just want access to lifestyle amenities and assistance where necessary, and really want to live what we call, I guess, a hassle-free life. And that is living in an environment where someone else takes care of what we call all the, let's call them the drudgeries of day-to-day existence. So home maintenance, gardening, even dining. There's obviously dining options available within our communities, security, et cetera, et cetera. So all that is really looked after for you, so that you don't have to be concerned about these things, and that you have assistance with these on a day-to-day basis as and when you need it. So most people are living completely independently. within these communities. Then, of course, if your needs change, and I must say if your needs change, because people often have this perception that if they move into these communities, that that precipitates this decline, which is absolutely not the case at all. It's only a percentage of people who would ever need some form of assistance going forward. And the important thing to know is that if that assistance is required, it is there for you without you having to have without you having to move, because of course the move in itself is you know is quite a thing to do at a time in your life when you might need assistance. What one often isn't in a position to move for whatever reason. So I think it's important to know for people that moving into these communities that to start one is going to live an engaged, vibrant life in a community of like-minded people with all the support and care that one could or would need in the later years going forward. And well, as such,
Barry, you know, when we're talking about this, you're also literally talking about the physical environment, because, you know, if you're in a apartment block or something like that, sometimes these things are not so geared towards people who might need wheelchair access or might not want to walk so far, for example, or don't have necessarily a central amenities area where cultural events are taking place. So I'm assuming that you guys have actually also thought about from the physical perspective where people might need to be at.
Yeah, so that is very important, is the facilities that are available to people in these communities. And it's not only facilities with regards to support and care. It's also facilities with regards to social activities, intellectual activities, wellness, et cetera, et cetera. So just to give you an example, within our communities and within any bona fide or well-managed and well-run senior living community, one will find, for example, various dining options, restaurants, coffee shops. In our communities, we have gyms, we have exercise studios where we offer yoga, Pilates classes, indoor swimming pools. We have cinemas within our communities where we show movies, series, et cetera, every single day for residents, documentaries. We have guest speakers that come in on a regular basis about various topics. We have bridge clubs. And also we have an internal structure which supports wellness. So that will be physiotherapists, biokineticists, multidisciplinary teams, all providing various interventions, interactions, and activities that support people's health, wellness, and of course support their independence for as long as possible. In the event that they need support.
Barry Kagenson today, he is from Aurea Senior Living and chatting to us about thinking about where you're going to stay once you get to the time of your life where you want to move into one of these facilities.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life. Are you looking to obtain a residency or citizenship of another country? Get peace of mind, enjoy visa-free travel and international flexibility. Protect your family, give your children the best education and safety. Henley and Partners are the world leaders in residency and citizenship planning, as well as investment migration. Become a global citizen. Contact the experts. Email southafrica@henleyglobal.com. Please note our presenters are broadcasting remotely from their homes. This means that you may hear a dog bark, a child laugh, or a doorbell ring in the background. This is just part of radio reality during the pandemic. Thank you for your understanding. 101.9 High FM. 101.9 megahertz of life. This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 High FM. Talking today to Barry Kagenson, CEO of Aurea Senior Living, and specifically talking about senior living spaces where you may want to spend your final years in happiness and safety. And Barry, I think safety is a huge element that people must be thinking about at the moment. You know, we're seeing all these things on our screens, looting, viruses, all these sorts of things. What are the parameters around security that you guys think about when you're looking at that particular part of things?
Yeah, Benji, that's a very important point you raise. And of course, security when it comes to older people is far more multidimensional than it is when it comes to people who are younger. And of course, typically in South Africa, when we think about the word security, we think about the physical security, the guarding, the armed response, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that, of course, is a given within our communities, as it should be within any senior living community. But security for older people goes beyond that. And it talks a lot to wellness, to peace of mind, et cetera. And really what that means is that is the security of knowing that one's not only is one's physical situation protected, but one's wellness and one's health is protected. And there's various facets to that. The first one, of course, is some kind of an emergency protection. So for older people, one of their big risks and also one of their big fears is that of, for example, falling. Within a senior living community, there is emergency response. There should be panic buttons placed at strategic points within every residential unit, such that if someone does have a fall, they are able to obtain assistance literally within minutes. So in our communities, there are panic buttons placed at floor level throughout all the residential units. And if somebody hits one of those, in the event of a fall, there'll be a security guard and a medical a care qualified person or a nurse within about 4 minutes. And the security of having that is of knowing that one has that is enormous. The statistics for the outcome of an unattended fall in an older person in terms of recovery is quite clear that the quicker one responds to a fall, the better the prognosis. So that becomes very important for older people. The other aspect of let's call it wellness security is some sort of proactive wellness monitoring, in that our care teams would meet with residents on a regular basis to make sure that we somehow are able to pick up any possible decline or any possible need for assistance before it becomes problematic. So there's a security of knowing that your wellness is being managed in some way by the on-site team. And I think lastly, and you mentioned it just before you asked the question, currently, when the way we find ourselves in this global pandemic, I think the security of that, certainly that our residents had, of knowing that they were living in a professionally managed environment where they could be supported and assisted during this time of isolation, but more importantly, where we were able to put this, what we call this protective bubble around our communities, and to do extensive testing on all our staff and residents to ensure the integrity of our communities with regards to asymptomatic COVID infection. And I must say that we picked up a lot of infection within our staff complement and our residents, and a lot of it was asymptomatic. So if we hadn't done this testing, we wouldn't have known that these people were positive, and we wouldn't have been able to take the very swift steps to isolate and remove them from the communities. When I say remove, I'm talking about the staff, of course, to send them home to isolate so that they didn't spread this infection further. And since the start of COVID, we've done over 8,000 tests across our communities, and we do it on a regular basis, and we continue to do it. Also, with regards to vaccination, because you mentioned that at the beginning, we would, as of Thursday this week, we would have vaccinated, and that's the second dose, every single one of our residents and our team members within our community. So I think from a COVID perspective, our residents have benefited from the security of knowing that this has been well managed and has enabled them to live a far better life within this pandemic than they would have lived had they been outside these communities. And we've certainly had that feedback from residents, that they feel incredibly fortunate that they're able to live in a professionally managed senior living environment, be protected and supported during the time of this pandemic. So I think those are all critical things when one talks about security. As I said, it's multidimensional. So it has various aspects to it, not just the guard at the front, as important as they are.
Now, of course, all of these extra added elements when it comes to senior living does cost extra monies for the company that's providing it. There's lots of it, you know, extra personnel, extra infrastructure, etc. And that does come with extra costs, which you have to pay. But there are a variety of ways of paying for these sorts of services depending on the community. And I'd just like to explore that with you for a bit. And also, when do you start to think about, you know, getting yourself in a list, booking, having a look? Because although, as you said, it's in your 70s that you might move into one of these facilities, or your 80s, you can actually, you know, get ahead of the curve, but not too soon.
Yeah, so I'll start with your second question first, and that is, when should people consider moving into a senior living community? So really, there's no right or wrong time, but certainly we would advise people to start considering their options and planning sooner rather than later. So if you start the process early, you have time to research which community is best for you. And of course, as you probably know, most of the good senior living communities, certainly around South Africa and indeed globally, have quite extensive waiting lists. Most people want to live in a similar area to where they are currently residing. In other words, if they're living in, for example, Glen Hazel, they wouldn't want to move out to Midrand, for argument's sake. So they want to live somewhere nearby, firstly. And secondly, most people want to move into a community where they already know people or have friends or have like-minded people, possibly from their communities, within those senior living communities. So the choice of the actual community is quite important. And that's why it's important to start planning early to identify where you want to be. And if you need to be able to put your name on that waiting list so that when the time comes, when you are ready or when you want to move, you're able to move to the place of your choosing rather than to kind of have a last minute scramble and only be able to find a place in your second or third or fourth choice, et cetera, et cetera. So that would be important to people. And also, of course, people must investigate within those communities, are they offering the relevant support and care that they need or that they might need going forward later in life? Because what one doesn't want to do is move into a community and have to move again. One needs to be sure that you only need to move once. So I think that's important. And of course, planning is critical to this. With regard to your second question, in terms of how payment is made for the various services that one is offered in the senior living communities, I think that's a very important point. And that's where I get on to, and it's often a question that gets asked, is when I look to move into one of these senior living communities, what about, do I go somewhere with that's life rights, or do I look at sectional title? I think the first thing to look at is the community the place that you want to be? The second part is it a life rights community or not? At Aureus Senior Living, we operate under the life rights model. And really...
Explain that, Barry, because I think not everyone may be familiar with what that means.
Right. So really what a life right is a payment of a sum of money. Let's just call it a purchase price because that's really what it is. So you buy a life right in exchange. There's no transfer of ownership as such in the deeds office, but you get all the benefits of ownership of the property during your lifetime in terms of right of use. So you have the right to occupy the property for the rest of your natural life or that of your spouse, et cetera. So essentially you're buying the right to live in the property for the rest of your life. And on vacating the property, an amount is refunded to you, which is typically a percentage of the capital sum that you pay. So let's assume you pay 2 million rand. You'll either get back when you leave the 2 million rand or a portion of the 2 million rand, and that depends widely on the different schemes. And the operator then would resell the unit and they would gain the capital appreciation on that resale. Now, why that is important is, sorry, maybe if I can just take a step back. While one is living in the unit, one pays a monthly, call it a levy or a monthly service fee, and that really covers the operating costs generally of living in the senior living community. Now, the expensive part, as you asked, Benji, is where does really the money come from? And that is what people should view a life right as, is a pay on exit model. Essentially, what you're doing is you're paying some of the capital that you paid upfront to the operator on leaving, on departing, and then the capital upside is paid to the operator. So really, what you're doing is you are paying the operator for the services you receive on exit. And of course, most people are no longer around when they're exiting these retirement villages. So it's a very efficient way to use your capital during your lifetime. People's concerns as they age, or people's major concerns as they age, are two things. It's health and care. I'm saying that as one point. Health and care and finances. Moving into a life right senior living community addresses those two concerns. Health and care are taken care of by the care infrastructure within the community. And the life right enables certainty on monthly levies, and it ensures that your that the cash available to you in your lifetime is not going to the economic benefit of the operator. That it only goes to the economic benefit of the operator once you are no longer around. So that's why it's generally referred to overseas as a pay on exit model. It's a very efficient way to use your capital and pay for the services you're getting during your lifetime, possibly after your lifetime, if I can explain it that way.
And certainly something that people, I think, should have a look at. Now, Barry, driving the other day in the Sydenham area, just past the Royal Johannesburg Golf Course, I couldn't help but noticing a few different houses that are not there anymore. And in their place, a big pile of sand and a concrete mixer. I believe you had something to do with that.
Yes, so we're very excited. We're building a brand new Aurea Senior Living community, as you said, in Sandringham, overlooking, it's on land that we acquired from the golf course. It overlooks the Royal Johannesburg Golf Course, beautiful views. That would be, it's apartments with all the amenities that I described earlier. So we'll have multiple dining options, coffee shop, restaurant, cinema, bridge club, a full wellness center with an indoor pool, physiotherapist, biokineticist, a frail care, dementia care, and of course about 125 independent living apartments ranging from studios to three-bedroom units, all with beautiful views, many of them overlooking the golf course. And it's really an exciting project that will bring the best in global senior living right into Sandringham. So we're very excited about this. We're betting a lot of interest in it, and it's really going to be a game changer for those older adults living in the area.
So if people want to have a look at that, then, as you say, a fabulous positioning right there on the Royal Golf Course, and in an area which I'm sure members of this community would, as you say, because it's nearby where many of them were living in terms of where our radio station is, etc. How can they go about looking at what's on offer and contacting you guys about what they can see and potentially purchase?
Yeah, the best way would be to contact us. There's an email address. It's info@aurea.co.za, or they could go onto our website, aurea.co.za, and learn more about the Royal View development, and be in touch with us and just give us their details, and we'll certainly be in touch with them and give them all the information required.
And great to see that this is not your first rodeo. I mean, you guys have others in Bryanston and Melrose. So this is just a nice new addition to your already existing portfolio.
Yeah, we currently have we have three operational communities, two in Johannesburg, one in Cape Town. We have in total about 700 residents across those communities. And we've won quite a few international awards for the work we've done in the senior living space, awards out of the US. I think the important thing about people moving into these senior living communities, and I always say it, is the first thing one should do is speak to the existing residents and you know, find out their experience of living in a community run by the specific operator. And you know, there's no better yardstick for the quality of the operation than speaking to the existing residents. I would encourage people to do that wherever they're thinking of moving to. But yes, as you say, we are experienced in the space. We've been doing it for quite some time, and this is our fourth community. Royal View will be our fourth community. Yeah.
Well, there you go, Barry Kaganson. Go check it out, www.aurea.co.za, to have a look at Aurea Senior Living. Barry, thank you so much for joining us on the New Blue Review.
Thanks, Benji. Thanks for having me on the show.
That's Barry Kaganson talking to us from Aurea Senior Living. Now, talking of what's been going on recently and what's been happening, we have all lost loved ones and friends from this pandemic, and our grief becomes multiplied as one funeral replaces the lost. Seems there isn't enough time to mourn our loss properly. Chaifim wants to help. We want to help you tell the community who your lost loved one was. What were they like? What were their passions, their peeves, and their personalities? Send us a written obituary or a tribute and a photograph of your loved one, and we will post it as an article on the Chai FM website for the community to read. Email Kathy at chaifm.com. And remember to include your contact details. 101.9 Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of community healing.
Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Thank you. Realiabuch. Engosi.
Todalachem.
Siabonga.
Bye, donkey.
Noribua.
Shukran.
A grace, dank.
From all of us at Chai.